Europe.
Germany and Europe. Europe's Germany-shaped hole. Olaf Scholz's government is punching below its weight in Brussels.
Last month, Olaf Scholz and Emmanuel Macron entered a European Union summit with a plan. The German and French leaders agreed that a strategic agenda document setting the EU's priorities for the next 5 years was inadequate. The passages on climate and migration were weak, and what about defence? But their rewrites, drawn up just beforehand, sparked a revolt among other leaders, including Italy's Giorgia Meloni. Voices were raised, fingers jabbed, and the pair retreated in humiliation. They had failed the most basic test of the European Council. Avoid springing surprises on colleagues. The story would be just another in the EU's long history of communique contretemps if it did not highlight a worrying trend. Mr. Macron is no coalition builder, but Germany, the EU's biggest member, is supposed to be different. Yet where the country once shaped the club's approach to everything from fiscal policy to Brexit, under Mr. Scholz it is punching well below its weight and irritating its partners. Interviews with diplomats and officials reveal two dimensions of German dysfunction in Brussels. The first is the dismal state of the three-party traffic light coalition, comprising Mr. Scholz's Social Democrats, the Greens, and the pro-business Free Democrats, or FDP. Previous coalitions have hardly been models of harmony, and the so-called German vote, when internal disagreement forces Germany to abstain, is well known in Brussels. But veteran Eurocrats say Mr. Scholz is especially bad at imposing his will on ministers, and that policy shifts arrive too late. The worst offender is the FDP, which has upset negotiations for phasing out combustion engines, among others. Yet, our problems are not about any one party, but lack of leadership from the Chancellor, says Anton Hofreiter, a Green MP who chairs the Bundestag's EU committee. No wonder such a government has problems in Europe. The dysfunction hurts German credibility, complained the country's EU ambassador in a leaked letter last year. Diplomats from friendly countries have begun to work around Germany, rather than with it. Worse, the mess in Berlin gums up Brussels' inner workings, as officials struggle to predict where Mr. Scholz's government might go next. Talking to different ministries in Germany is like talking to different countries, says one. The second problem is the Chancellor's conduct in the European Council. EU summits are often testy, and leaders' personalities can be decisive. One official says that where Angela Merkel, Mr. Scholz's predecessor, literally held the EU together by shaping compromises, Mr. Scholz states his position and offers no room for debate. They negotiate like petty accountants, recalls one official of a budget dispute. Merkel wouldn't have done that. What is the case for the defence? Firstly, Mr. Scholz is a relative newcomer. It took Mrs. Merkel years to find her feet in the EU. Second, conditions have changed. In the debt crisis of the 2010s, a booming Germany found it easier to impose its will. Today it is flirting with recession. Third, Mr. Scholz inherited a discredited energy and security policy, albeit one in part shaped by his own party that, after Russia invaded Ukraine, left Germany morally bankrupt, as one diplomat puts it. In fact, Germany has a decent record on Ukraine. It has sent more arms than any other European ally, strengthened its own armed forces, and weaned itself off Russian gas. Figures close to Mr. Scholz cite to support for Ukraine's EU accession bid, including an only-in-Brussels gambit of overcoming Hungary's opposition by arranging for Viktor Orban to leave the room during the crucial vote, and spearheading an ambitious European air defence project. They also note German opposition to what they see as boneheaded regulatory proposals from Brussels. Yet the diplomacy often seems tin-eared. One Polish diplomat was deeply disappointed after Mr. Scholz at a recent summit blocked new plans to reinforce the EU's eastern flank. In 2022, Germany infuriated other governments by announcing a €200 billion or $218 billion energy subsidy package without alerting them. The coordinating role that Germany used to have is gone because everyone is taken by surprise, says Nils Redeker of the Jacques Delors Center, a think tank in Berlin. This makes it harder for Mr. Scholz to press his case on China policy or free trade agreements, where he is swimming against the European tide. Of course, many countries have awkward coalitions or idiosyncratic priorities, and Germany's legal bar on large-scale borrowing and fierce constitutional court are structural impediments to EU endeavours, such as a larger budget or more common debt. People have much higher standards for Germany than they do for other countries, says Mark Leonard, director of the European Council on Foreign Relations, another think tank. But, as Mr. Scholz acknowledges, Germany has a special responsibility for Europe's success. So there is often a gap between Germans' pride in their achievements and outsiders' disappointment at unfulfilled expectations. Ironically, the most effective promoter of Germany's interests in Brussels sits outside the government. Ursula von der Leyen, a former German defence minister and president of the European Commission since 2019, coordinates closely with the Chancellery in Berlin. It's helpful for Mr. Scholz to have someone who knows his mind better than he does himself, says a confidant of the president. The Commission recently delayed a defence financing proposal that could have entailed common EU bonds, anathema to Germany. Other tricky discussions loom. For Mr. Scholz, admitting Balkan countries Ukraine and Moldova into the EU is a priority, but new Dutch and perhaps French governments will be sceptical. On the Capital Markets Union, a long-stalled project to smooth financial flows across Europe backed by Mr. Scholz, the battle is internal. The FDP's Christian Lindner, the finance minister, opposes centralising market supervision. A second Trump presidency would bring the risk of trade wars and an end to American support for Ukraine. Does the cautious Mr. Scholz have the stomach for these fights? Advisers insist he does. But poor results in the recent European elections and expected reverses in state elections in September will only encourage the traffic light parties to amplify their differences. Europe may, yet again, find itself waiting for Germany.